But as we get to the gospel message, Jesus has taken his disciples into a part of Galilee and Samaria. It's a place that's in between these two nations. You know, they're almost home, but not yet. When we lived in when we lived on the other side of the Hudson, you go across the George Washington and you get halfway across it, and it says "Welcome to New York," right? You just got out of Jersey, you're in New York, but you're not quite yet to the city, are you? You can see the skyline, you can almost reach it, almost, but not just yet. And then what always happens? You come to that screeching halt, right? Of course, traffic. There's times when you're neither here nor there, just somewhere in between. It seems kind of like opening up the door. You're walking through it, you're not outside anymore, but you're not quite inside either. You're in transition, things are changing. You may not be fully aware of the outcome or the directions that we're going to end up taking. Or maybe we're struggling to let go. Let's say we liked it this one particular way. We felt comfortable with it that being that way. We need our status quo. We need some sense of security and stability. But instead, not a thing in our life tends to make any sense at some point. I don't know about y'all, but family relationships tend to be strained, especially during the holiday season when you got to see all the crazy aunts and uncles that you can go the other 364 days of the year without seeing. I don't have any in my family, so I'm not worried about it. Or you could have a dear friend that's in the hospital struggling to recover from a sickness. Or better yet, on the happy side, you might be expecting your first child or your first grandchild to be born, or even at Thanksgiving, you might have the entire family, all the grandkids together for the first time in Lord knows how long. Or you might be having to say goodbye to someone that you had just met a few months before and wondering, will I ever see you again? I remember that day like it was yesterday. I looked at Romy as I was dropping her off at Charlotte Douglas International Airport in North Carolina so she could fly back to Minneapolis, wasn't it? And how many weeks did you have in Minneapolis?
2 days.
You were there 2 days, and then you flew from Minneapolis to Chicago, Chicago to London, London to Vienna, and then you were home finally. Will I ever see you again? I had one of those cheesy answers that I thought could fix everything. I said, maybe one day you'll come back or I'll go over there. I didn't even have a passport back then. You think I was going to fly to Slovakia? And the only thing I knew about that part of the world at that moment was that my geography teacher said, don't bother learning the names of these countries. They keep changing. But that answer that I gave her, she didn't believe it. Neither did I. And then we may have been struggling with health problems or work. You slave around, you work so hard only to see that everything's falling apart. Or you've worked an entire career and now you're newly retired and you're just straight up bored out your gourd. Another great example of being in transition. It can be tough though, especially if you're used to going all the time and constantly doing and your calendar is just packed. Or just recently, your church has gone through a major change. You got a new pastor, well, technically two. You got that 5-year-old and 2-year-old that you hoped would be filling the parsonage with sounds of joy and sometimes screams of terror. You know, we're still getting used to you. You have certain hopes, and so do we. But really, we're going to take whatever God gives us, right? Because with God, everything is centered around grace. With God, we have a future that is filled with hope, and that's quite a big deal right there. Because these transitions, these times of change, whether they're happy or whether they're sad, they provide us an opportunity for growth. And now we can look here and we can say, where are we going? Where are we taking this United Methodist Church of Port Washington? Where is God guiding us? Where is God dragging us, kicking and screaming? we can ask God, because we can let God take us where God wants us to be. Because God's presence is exactly where our Lord needs to be at just the right time. Because just like Jesus in that region between Samaria and Galilee and the borderlands, wandering around with his disciples trying to get from point A to point B, the capital city there, Jerusalem, being the goal, when all of a sudden that group of 10 lepers approaches them. You remember that moment on the George Washington Bridge? You almost there? And you come to that screeching, grinding halt. They're just outside the village, these lepers. They're close enough to beg people on the road for some scraps. Close enough, though, to get an occasional glimpse of their families. But, of course, they're ordered to keep their distance by the law. They're stuck, essentially. Physically, religiously, and socially, they are considered unclean. In between the village and the desert. The untouchables, let's call them. And their disease spreads quickly. It's infectious. This is no joke for them. And for those who may have been exposed to them. But now we know when we're sick, we know we can rely on our family and on our friends and on our church family to take care of us, to help us in one way or another. But these guys, these 10 folks, they had nobody. Their families couldn't take care of them. They had to keep their distance from them. All they have left is to cry for help along the side of the road and hoping against hope. They take it, whatever it is, whatever God has given them. And here they cry out, Jesus, help us. Help me, Lord. Because our Lord's reputation has indeed gone ahead of them. And Christ doesn't hesitate, not even for a moment. And he sends them on their way in a good way and says, go and show yourselves to the priest. Jesus doesn't even mention anything, not a single word about healing. Just tells them to go and do what the law orders. Simple as it sounds, all righty then, Jesus. That's what they end up saying, and that ends up what they end up doing. They just shuffle off, and they're cured. Looks like it's all said and done right there. But not so quickly. What an amazing act of faith on their part by all 10 of them. Now, they don't have any physical evidence of healing at that point, though, still. Off they go to show themselves to the priest. They all go and do just the thing that Jesus instructed them to do, but then one of the 10, once he realizes that he's healed, did something. He disobeyed what Jesus told him to do, that clear command, and he returns back to Jesus to say, thank you. Like he couldn't send a thank you note, right, Pastor Romy? Seriously, though, just imagine a miraculous healing. I'm sure the Samaritan is speechless, is overwhelmed. One moment he's sick, he's in pain, living as a social outcast in outside of society. Oh, I'm having some trouble this morning. In between the village and the desert, close enough just to see his family. But far enough away not to touch them, hug them, be with them, enjoy dinner with them. And then in the time it took to set off to the village priest, he's healed and free to return to society. He's able to go back home now. God has intervened in his life and this man is given a second chance, a chance to start over. And that's a big deal. That Samaritan pauses, turns around and returns, drops down and gives thanks. Not a thank you note kind of thanks, not a just a quick simple thank you, just because it's expected of us, but the kind of thanks when we praise God, the kind of thanks that we give when we honor God, when we bless God, the kind of thanks when we drive to work and we pray. The kind of thanks when we trust God in all those stressful times of change. When we gather together to worship God because we know we're here for a reason, and it is probably because God has done something awesome in our life at some point. Because God has helped pick us up and get us back on our feet. Because God has just given us that little bit of encouragement that we all needed. that little bit of hope and strength and energy to make it through the day, because God has given life to each of us. That second chance, that opportunity to see and to do things differently. It's the kind of thanks that Jesus gives to God on that night that he was betrayed and died on the cross. The kind of thanks that we give to God even when life just flat out might stink. When we know we may have messed up in a big way, even when we feel lost. It's the kind of thanks that we give to God when things are going great, and also when they're not. The kind of thanks we're supposed to give to God in the midst of change and transition, and at times when we don't know what to expect or what direction to take. I think this also helps to put our faith into perspective. Because oftentimes faith is not equivocated with unshakable confidence, because we all have our shaky moments. Faith is trusting in God's abilities, not in our own. Trusting in God's plan, not the one we try to make for ourselves. Because it's not something we have, it's what we are and it's what we do. It's all the ordinary stuff that we end up doing, stuff that God takes and blesses, because with God, our ordinary selves, we can become pretty extraordinary. Faith is leaving our homes in the morning and looking for opportunities to be the presence of Christ for people that we encounter on a daily basis. Faith is doing our work and caring for those who need you, giving a phone call, paying a visit to a lonely neighbor, becoming a friend to somebody who's got none, smiling at the stressed out waitress at the diner. Faith is relying on God at all times, even in those times when not a thing in our life seems to be making any sense. At times when we're neither here nor there, just seems like we're somewhere in between. This kind of faith that recognizes where God is active in our lives and in the lives of all those around us, faith that changes our courses of action and has us doing things we never believed we could do. Like engaging in mission when we thought we had lost it all. Taking time to listen to someone who's sharing their life story with you. Because they feel they can trust you and be in an open and honest, and be in an open and honest conversation. I mean, these are just a couple of little things that popped in right on the top of my head. But what will you do as you go out into the world? And which way are each of you going to embody Christ to those around us that you're going to see for the rest of today and the rest of our lives? The kind of faith Jesus is talking about has us going and doing and loving as God does. Faith that makes a difference in a community. Faith that makes a difference in us so that we can be the beacon of light for the world. Faith that is so overwhelming that we cannot do otherwise but to go and to help in places where we are needed. Faith that has us turning and coming back to Christ. Faith that is life-changing and has got to be shared because we just can't keep it for ourselves. This kind of faith that leper experienced, this is the kind of faith that has made all of us well, sisters and brothers, because with Christ, all is grace. With God, our lives are filled with grace. And may we go out into the world carrying that grace to all who need to see it. Amen. Amen. Thanks be to God.